If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Glad you're with us. Going to be joined by Dr. John Whitcomb here in just 1 minute for Ask Dr. John. Got your questions ready, and of course you can email questions to me at info@worldviewweekend.com even now. And you can also Facebook us, Brannon House, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, House, H-O-W-S-E. If you go to Facebook and click like on our fan page, and you can even put some questions up there on Facebook. We'll be monitoring the medium of email, the media outlets of email and Facebook with Dr. John in just a minute, as well as, again, going through the questions many of you emailed in, which we actually like because it gives us a chance to go through them and him a chance to prepare to give you the best possible answer. And you can always email your questions to us at info@worldviewweekend.com for the next program. But if you have a couple of simple questions today, you can always put those into an email even now. Now, before you go to him, a couple of issues I want to bring up to you. I just found out yesterday that I have a whole chapter dedicated to me in a book that I didn't even know about. It came out in December, and I just found out about it yesterday. And that's kind of interesting because I knew the book was out. I saw one of the authors being interviewed on Mike Huckabee's television program on Fox News, I think in December, early January, titled, We Won't Get Fooled Again. That's the title of the book. We Won't Get Fooled Again. Subtitled, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong. Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again. And I know the two authors, and I knew the book was out, but I had no idea. A whole chapter is titled, Brannon House, Come a Worldview Weekend. And it's a transcript of an interview I did with Greg Jackson, one of the authors of the book, back in February of 2009, on the, well, really why the religious right continues to really be a detriment to the church in many ways, the new religious right. And I went into the issues of theology and doctrine and this myth of reclaiming the country or the culture and building a dominion on earth. I go into the fact that many of these guys don't know theology and doctrine, and yet they want to try to solve the issues of the issues of the country, when the issues of the country are really a spiritual problem, not political, but spiritual. And if you want to address the issues of the spiritual problem, then you have to know the Bible. You have to know theology. You have to know doctrine. And most of these guys don't know that, which clearly is, since 2009 when I gave the interview, been revealed more so than ever that they either don't know theology and doctrine or really don't care about biblical theology and doctrine. And thus, they'll unite up with anybody that hoists the flag up above the cross and says, let's reclaim America, let's have freedom and liberty, and so we'll unite up with people that are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, attributing to Satan, or to the Holy Ghost, the work of Satan, the New Apostolic Reformation, Word of Faith, other groups, if that's what it takes to get it done. So, again, that was an interview I did in 2009, February of 2009, was transcribed and put into this book into a whole chapter. Now, I'm told that some of the folks in this book who are talked about don't come off looking so good. That's what I've been told. It's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that someone else is out there writing about these issues and trying to warn the church. And the book has been endorsed by Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, Fox News talk show host. So this isn't some book that's, you know, put out by somebody in their basement and is not getting an attention. The authors are getting around. And the author, one of them, is going to be on our program, if not this week, next week, as they have sent me a copy in the mail now. My friend Tommy Ice, got the book last night after I told him about it. He ordered it up, put it on his Kindle, and started reading it. Called me last night during my end of my dinner hour, celebrating my daughter's birthday, and he texted me and said that was okay. So he called me, and my daughter gave me permission, and said the chapter is awesome. And so I kind of knew it was going to be in the chapter because I went back and listened to the old program where I was interviewed. But he says, this is really a good book. He said the foreword is written by a Ray E. Moore, who I think was really involved in the education issues and homeschooling issues years ago. And he said, Tommy says he wrote the foreword to the book. He said it's a powerful foreword. He said these guys are saying the same thing you're saying. So maybe now the new religious right can chew on these guys too. And that'll distract them from maybe from what I'm doing for a while. But I'm really excited to get a copy of it. And you can get your own copy, I'm sure, at your favorite place where you buy your books, online or wherever else. There's a guy named Dave Jeffers who wrote a book called All Readers Will Be Disturbed. He said, this is written December 3rd, 2011. The reason for the reader's disturbance will vary based on perspective. If you are a GOP cheerleader, then you likely will be disturbed with the authors. If you've given your hard-earned dollars to pro-family / pro-life organizations, then likely you'll be disturbed with the organizations mentioned in We Won't Get Fooled Again. As a matter of full disclosure, he talks about how he has known them. He said the premise of the book is, quote, to subject it to the same scrutiny the movement known as Christian conservatives, the religious right, the Christian right, social conservatives, or value voters. The scrutiny begins with very thought-provoking questions that will require critical thinking on the part of the reader. And it just goes on to lay out that you're not going to be too happy with what some of these groups have been up to. The last paragraph is, and this is the takeaway from the book, the conservative / pro-family / pro-life movement is disturbingly destitute of a foundational biblical world view. Hear, hear. He says the authors gradually help the reader come to this conclusion through weaving together their question / commentary and the interviewee's words. Well, I'm excited to interview this Greg and to get a copy of the book. Now, on another issue that I want to ask Dr. John about, so I'm going to set it up right now, but first I want to welcome Dr. John. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Great to be with all of you again.
Well, thank you for being with us again. You are one of our most favorite guests, according to not only myself, but according to the emails we get. Many, many people appreciate our time together as we study and try to be approved workmen. And I want to start out reading just a little bit of an article, because this is going viral. So many people have sent this to me. You told me before we went on the air, you're getting the same emails. And I've had it on our website a couple days now, but didn't have time to mention it yesterday. So let's talk about it today just briefly. Headline, Christian Post, Father and Son Removed from Bible Translations for Muslims. The article at Christian Post says a controversial decision by a number of Bible translation companies to remove the terms father and son from the Arabic Bible versions is stirring debate over the importance of semantics. The words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are integral to preserving the true meaning of the gospel and should never be tampered with, some ministries say. But some Bible translations, such as Wycliffe Bible Translators and the Summer Institute of Linguistics, have argued that in certain cultures, keeping the literal translation creates the wrong context. It does not portray the relationship between God and Jesus Christ correctly. Controversy is swirling around the Arabic and Turkish translations of the Bible. The word Father is replaced with Allah, meaning God in Arabic, while Son becomes Messiah. Biblical Missionology, a consortium of mission groups based in Boulder, Colorado, has started a petition on change.com, which they hope will convince Wycliffe Bible Translators and SIL to reconsider the decision to translate the words in such a way. Dr. John, I know you haven't probably spent a lot of time on this yet, but just based on what I've told you, any thoughts on this?
We have to be extremely careful, sir, not to change the Word of God to avoid offending people. Where do you draw the line on that? Eliminate the virgin birth, bodily resurrection? Of course not. God's word is complete, unified in its presentation of three persons who are equal and eternal in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. And if we try to sort of amalgamate all that with Muslim theology, we are doing a terrible, infinite disservice to Turkish people, to Arabic-speaking people around the world, who need the whole counsel of God just like we do. Satan wants to, of course, obliterate the truths of the Scripture. And we're not ignorant of his devices, are we?
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I knew we needed to get to that because a lot of people are asking about it. Let's go ahead and start moving through our list of questions here. Here comes one from a listener. When talking about the virgin birth of Christ, you were making it sound like Jesus got his divine nature from the Holy Spirit. If you were meaning that, then would that make you a heretic under the
monophysite?
Yes, thank you. Heresy. Could you please clarify it?
Yes, and of course. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, this is a medical doctor who is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records this amazing statement that the angel communicated to Mary in Luke 1:35. He said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason," notice, because the Holy Spirit is in charge of the incarnation event of Jesus, "for that reason, the holy offspring should be called the Son of God." Now, of course, immediately we realize that the Lord Jesus was a genuine descendant of Adam, Abraham, David, of course, through whom? Through Mary. But you say, but Mary had a sin nature. That's the main point here. The reason why the Lord Jesus could be conceived and born of a sinful woman is because the Holy Spirit says he would overshadow her. Now, that means he would control that particular aspect. Mary was the actual mother of what? The human nature of Jesus, who was the God-man, totally God, totally human, genuine member of the human race forever, but devoid of any sin. And so here immediately we see the answer to this. The Holy Spirit didn't create Jesus. No. Through Mary's body, her ovum, he did what? He created the genuine human nature of the Son of God, so that the Holy Spirit himself did not create God, did not create the divine nature, but the human nature through the genetic qualities and properties of that virgin woman, Mary. She is not the mother of God. She's the mother of what? The human nature of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Number two. Well, thank you for that. Number two, what happens to a believer's body after surviving the tribulation, going into the millennium, and then dying before the end of the 1,000 years? Do they instantly receive their glorified body, or do they wait to receive their glorified body until after Christ's 1,000-year reign?
My understanding, sir, is that no believer dies during the 1,000-year kingdom. They will outlive the entire period, at the end of which they will not be killed by Satan's rebellion, you remember, in Revelation 19 and 20. But they will, what, be raptured? Now, that's a valid inference. They will be taken to a new glorified state called the third heaven forever, the new heavens and new earth. So the only people that die during the millennium are people in open rebellion. Remember, Jesus will rule the world with a rod of iron. And so Isaiah 65:20 says, the youth, listen to this, the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 shall be thought accursed.
Hmm.
In other words, here's a person who is cursed by God because he openly has rebelled against God during the kingdom. Now, he's not one who enters the kingdom, remember, alive. He is the child, grandchild, descendant of such a person. And every unbeliever, of course, traces his origin to a sinful mother and father, of course.
Okay, we come back. We've got a lot more questions for Dr. Whitcomb, and we'll take your calls and questions in just a little bit as well. And if you want to email your questions in advance for our next program, about every 2 weeks we have on Dr. John Whitcomb, you can do so by simply emailing us, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. If you'd like to visit Dr. Whitcomb's pages, they include WhitcombMinistries.org, Facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries, and SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb. We'll be right back with more of Ask Dr. John. I want to invite you to register for the second annual Worldview Weekend Online Rally. Last year, we had over 50,000 computers stream the Worldview Weekend Online Rally worldwide. We learned a lot, and one of the things we learned is this year we want to offer it over several weeks. So from February 9th to April 2nd, we're hosting the Worldview Weekend Online Rally. That way, we won't have to worry about so many computers trying to stream the file in one night. In fact, this year, we're putting up the Worldview Weekend Online Rally in four parts. That way it'll make it very convenient for you to offer the Worldview Weekend online rally on four Sunday nights or four Wednesday nights or four Friday nights if you have a Bible study. Or maybe a Christian school wants to offer this for four Wednesdays in chapel or 4 days of Bible study class. Maybe it's a homeschool co-op, Bible study, church, Sunday school class, group that you want to gather together in your living room, however you want to do it. We want to make it easy and convenient. And so this year, we're offering it from February 9th to April 2nd, and we're putting up four files. You can register online at worldviewweekend.com, and you just click on the conferences. Now, last year, we did make it free, but it cost us over $10,000 to stream it with all the bandwidth that was used. This year, we must charge a nominal fee. The fee is only $14.99. for you to stream the entire 4 hours. You'll get an access code. You can watch it as many times as you want over that many weeks that we have the Worldview Weekend online rally posted. So whether you have one person in your group or you have 1,000, it doesn't matter. It's still only $14.99 for you to have access to the Worldview Weekend online rally. Register online, get a code, and you can use that code over and over for the entire time of February 9th to April 2nd. Keynote presentations by Ken Ham. His will be already gone, why your kids will quit church and what you can do to stop it. My friend, the late Dr. Ron Carlson, speaking on why Mormonism is contrary to biblical Christianity. John Loeffler on the coming persecution of Christians in the West and how Christians must prepare and respond. And I'll be speaking on components of the religious Trojan horse. See full details on our website at worldviewweekend.com and sample excerpts of these keynote presentations. So why don't you get together a group in your living room, plug your computer into a flat screen TV or get a projector, project it onto a wall, or go into your fellowship hall, your sanctuary of your church, and use their computer system and their projector. Full details and to register are available at worldviewweekend.com and then click on conferences. worldviewweekend.com. It's time to register for the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri, April 27, 28, and 29. We have family rates and we have group rates. Again, the Branson Worldview Weekend is Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, April 27, 28, and 29. Full details are available at worldviewweekend.com. worldviewweekend.com. Keynote speakers include Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Mike Gendron, myself, Brandon House, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, backed by popular demand, Dr. David Noble. We'll also have with us Justin Peters, Chris Pinto of Noise of Thunder Radio, and Dr. Jerry Vines. Full details, video clips, all can be found at worldviewweekend.com. We also have there the hotels that we recommend. Again, this is the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend, April 27, 28, and 29. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. Don't forget, we do have family rates and group rates. Join us, won't you, in Branson, Missouri, April 27, 28, and 29 for the 9th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details at worldviewweekend.com. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest, and we'll gladly take your questions for our next program at info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. Put in the subject line, if you will, ask Dr. John, and we'll forward those on to him. And we'll put the phone lines a little bit later for those of you who want to call in. But some of you don't like to call in. That's only a small percentage of the radio audience that wants to pick up the phone and call in. They just aren't comfortable doing that, and I understand. So we want to give you the opportunity to still ask your question via email. And send us your questions, if you would, info@worldviewweekend.com. Again, Dr. Whitcomb can be found at Whitcomb Ministries, WHITCOMB, WhitcombMinistries.org, Facebook.com/WhitcombMinistries, and SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb. By the way, made a decision last night to add a second hour to some of the programs because, you know, there's so much happening. I can't get to it all every day. So I'm going to add a second hour about twice a week. Maybe we'll pick it up more from there, but we're going to start out with a second hour twice a week that will only be on our Situation Room. So for Situation Room members, be watching as we will be adding a second hour at least twice a week where we will continue discussions and have guests because there's so much happening. I can't get to it all. And I want to offer that as a service to our Situation Room members for the second hour. If you want to check out the Situation Room, it's situationroom.net, situationroom.net. We'll also be adding in the next day or so another video clip of my interview, TV interviews with Mike Gendron. Someone emailed me last night. Watch the free 22 minutes the first clip and just said, this is wonderful. When will you post the second one? And I said, I emailed him back, said, later this week we'll have the second one. So it's wonderful that people who are members of Situation Room are enjoying this, as well as people who aren't members, and that's fine. That's why we always try to offer some of this material for free to people at worldviewtube.com and make our radio show available online for free for 14 days. We don't want resources to stop people from getting this good Bible teaching. But if you do want to get a lot more, we have a lot of this in our Situation Room at situationroom.net, including what will be an occasional, at least twice a week, second hour where we will delve into other topics and more topics because, again, so much is happening so fast we can hardly keep up with it. In fact, I just got an email last night from Tommy Ice, and Tommy's written numerous books, been a college professor. You know, he's a theologian himself. And he said to me, it's happening so fast, my head is swirling. Who can keep up? And I thought, wow, Tommy Ice is one of the smartest guys I know, really. He truly is a very intelligent guy, very well-read, and yet he's feeling that way. How must the average person feel who is learning a lot of new words, a lot of new terminology, finding out about a lot of philosophies they've never thought of before? And so that kind of pushed me over the edge to say, you know what, maybe we need a second hour occasionally on our website in the Situation Room to kind of continue to break down some of these things. So we'll do that as a resource for Situation Room members. Again, situationroom.net. Dr. John Whitcomb, let's go to our next question. Here's one. I have a scripture question for Dr. John Whitcomb that I can never ask on the day he's on. Okay, well, that's why we like it when you can email us. I'm wondering if you might be able to save my question for the next time he's on. Okay, we've done that. Here it is, Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. How does this scripture fit with those of us who will be snatched up at the rapture? I have wondered about this for so long. I've never seen this question addressed in my travels so far. Well, that's a good question. Appointed to every man to die once. What about those snatched up in the rapture? They never die.
Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful question. And
it is.
And the answer is even more wonderful from God. The point is this. Generally, from the beginning of the world, it is the experience of men to die once. But that's a general principle for which there are biblical exceptions. Aren't you thankful there's an exception to this law?
Hmm.
All have sinned and come short, but Jesus never sinned. So he's an exception, isn't he? Praise God. Now, once to die, how about people who died twice? Yes, a couple of times in the Old Testament when Elijah and Elisha raised people from the dead, they died again. What about Lazarus? He awakened only to discover, I think, to his later disappointment, that he had to die twice. And I say, well, Lord, thank you for another exception. Some of us will never die at all. Now, of course, this is a mystery hidden from ages past, according to Ephesians chapter 3. The fact that some Christians will actually live to experience the rapture.
Hmm.
That's the blessed hope that is only for Christians, not any other group in the history of the world. The bride and body of Christ has that blessed hope of being transformed instantaneously, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, to be caught up to be with Jesus without even dying at all. Instantaneous glorification. That is an exception to the rule. I thank God for that exception.
Amen. Here's another one. The Bible says that God will gather all of his people, the Jewish people, that he has scattered over the earth in the last days. Does this mean that the Antichrist cannot appear and the tribulation period cannot happen until all the Jews are regathered in the land of Israel?
Well, of course, this comes from Ezekiel 37. Listen to verse 12. Behold, I'll open your graves, God says to Israel, and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I'll bring you into the land of Israel. And the graves, of course, refers to places all over the world where they live in spiritual death. And the biggest grave in the world today for godless Jews is the United States of America. He will bring them back when? During the early part of the tribulation period, while the two witnesses in Jerusalem, Elijah and perhaps Moses, are winning that nation to the Lord in the Holy Land. Jesus said it, didn't he, in Matthew 17. Elijah will come first and will restore all things. He'll bring that nation from spiritual death to spiritual life. Ezekiel depicts Israel today, you see, as a field full of dead bodies, spiritually dead Jews. And that's sadly true of nearly six million of them there now. And God, during that wonderful time when all Israel will be saved, Romans 11, will bring them back from all over the world to their promised land. And I say, amazing, Lord, you really mean what you say, and you say what you mean, and we trust you for it.
Number five, do you see the Psalm 83 war as being different than the Ezekiel 38-39 war? If so, can this possibly take place before the rapture?
Okay, I actually, as you look at that amazing Psalm 83, you see Israel 3,000 years ago surrounded by all kinds of enemies everywhere. And God says he's going to destroy them. He lists those Edomites and Moabites and Philistines and Assyrians and so forth. And he says he will deal with them because of what they've done to Israel. But why does God do that? Notice in verse 16, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. God brings judgment to shock people into a realization they need a Savior. Verse 18, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. Now, to answer the question in particular, when Gog and Magog come back to Israel to destroy it, Ezekiel 38-39, it's the same principle all over again. It'll come to pass, literally, that all those nations that hate the Jews will take place during the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, by which time the nation of Israel will have been saved, regenerated, and they'll flee, as Jesus told them to. You remember in Matthew 24, when you see this abomination of desolation in the holy place, get out, flee for your lives. So those are things that are going to be an ultimate fulfillment of the basic principle that is announced in Psalm 83.
Well, here's one that just came over from someone by email. A dear believer went home to be with the Lord today. The Spirit is with the Lord. When will this believer get their new glorified body?
Yes. If anyone who is saved, born again, regenerated today is a member forever of the body and bride of Christ, and therefore will be raised, perhaps today, the dead in Christ shall rise first, Paul said to the Thessalonians, remember, chapter 4. And then we who are alive and still remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So this loved one who died will be raised first, then we who are alive will be raptured. So there is great hope and expectation to depart and be with Christ for a believer is a great gain, is better than to live in a life of the sin nature.
So, folks,
thank you, Lord, for that promise.
So people who have gone on to what we call heaven right now, and it's not, as I understand it, really heaven because it's not the final heaven, but what we refer to now when people have died and gone to heaven, they have not received their glorified bodies yet.
Now, and they will receive that any moment now. When God raises the dead, mm-hmm. the dead believers could be
okay.
today.
Excellent. Okay, here's another question that just came in by email. The person is teaching a class, and they would like to know, what would you say are the ways, Dr. John, that Satan is attacking the church today to make believers ineffective? What are some of the most powerful tools that Satan uses to attack believers, to attack the church, to make believers ineffective?
Well, of course, the Apostle Paul, in his final two letters to Timothy, over and over again, talks about unbelievers who will come, false teachers who will deny the word and lead many astray. People who have itching ears will heap to themselves teachers who deny the word of God. They were warned, in God's loving care, don't allow false teachers to get through to you. And the only way that can be prevented, isn't it, is by masterminding the Bible. Allow the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to do what? Illumine our minds as to what's true. So that we'll immediately see what's false. We don't have to learn all the false things. We just know automatically they don't line up with the truth. And I say, Lord, thank you for your merciful provision by the Holy Spirit that we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be deceived. Yes, we can be if we want to be, but be careful. Be careful what you do with the precious, infallible, inspired Word of God, the Bible. Mm-hmm.
And I echo that. Yes, false teachers are one of the greatest ways to make the church ineffective. False teachers, false teaching, Jude 3, 2 Peter 2, Acts 20. We read this over and over. It's the great ploy of Satan, particularly as we approach the last days or in the last days, and that is to the great increase of these false teachers. So, Dr. John, I echo what you say as well. Number 7 is in Ezekiel. It mentions burning weapons for 7 years. Would this preclude the war from happening during the tribulation, or at least to have happened at the very beginning of the tribulation? I think we kind of just answered that, didn't we?
I'm not sure, but it's an easy one to answer, because Ezekiel 39, verse 9, says that at the beginning of the thousand-year kingdom, when Israel is restored to the land, all the remnants of the weapons that have been used against her by Gog from Magog, especially during the middle of the 70th week, and Armageddon at the end of the 70th week, will be cleansed, removed, purged, purified for that land at the opening of the millennial kingdom. So that will happen after the tribulation has ended. And, of course, we know that there will be tremendous catastrophes, tragedies all over the world especially those final 3.5 years before the second coming of Christ. And God wants them all removed, Ezekiel 39, verse 9, by Israelites.
Now, I know we're not to set dates, but you've been studying the Bible for many, many years. You have watched a lot of things occur. I'm sure, are stunned at the things that you've watched occur in your lifetime as a student of the Bible. As a student of the Bible for so many years, my question to you is, again, not setting a date, not asking you to give a date, but we can know the season, we can know the time. Do you believe that we are upon the very time of Christ's return? That's the question I want to ask you when we come back. Do you think we are really close to the return of the Lord? We often say the return of the Lord is imminent. Some people say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if the Lord would return in 100 years, in the scope of time, that would be imminent. But my question for Dr. John when we come back is, knowing all he knows, having seen all he's seen, studied the Bible as he has, how close does he think we are to the return of the Lord? Not the second coming, not when he places his foot on earth, but the rapture. We'll be right back, Dr. John. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure would appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the Internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it. And one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation in underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you. I'm pleased to announce the launch of the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is over 85 hours of biblical worldview training for students or adults. Now, this Worldview Weekend Online Academy is completely different from our online Teacher Training Institute. The Teacher Training Institute is for those who want to become an approved Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor and receive the curriculum. This course, however, the Worldview Weekend Online Academy, is 85 hours of intense biblical worldview training for students or adults who want to have a more accurate biblical worldview. Some families cannot afford the $600 to $1,000 plus the cost of transportation that many of these worldview camps cost. But Worldview Weekend, which is committed to biblical worldview training for many people at a very reasonable price, has now launched the Worldview Weekend Online Academy. It's only $149. We even offer a family rate and a group rate that gets the tuition down as low as $75 a student. This is a wonderful course for not only a family, but for a homeschool co-op, Christian school, Sunday school classes. In fact, fact, church youth groups, I believe, should send all their kids through this training. If you want to take it as an individual, you can do that as well. It's for students or adults. Full details, and you can demo the course at worldviewweekend.com/academy. worldviewweekend.com/academy. Again, worldviewweekend.com/academy. The Worldview Weekend Online Academy is now online. Back, glad you're with us. Brandon House here. Our website's worldviewweekend.com, worldviewweekend.com. Be telling your friends, won't you, about our Android and our iPhone apps, which you can get on the right-hand side of the page at worldviewweekend.com. Our listenership has really gone up the last couple of weeks from the release of those Android and iPhone apps. So please tell your friends about them. It just makes it so convenient. I was even listening to some of our own programming last night on my iPhone, so I enjoy it myself. So you can check it out at worldviewweekend.com. Look on the right-hand side of the page, if you would, for the iPhone or Android app, and they're free. And so we appreciate that. We're also continuing to see people register for our Worldview Weekend Training Institute, where you can go through the course, and at the end of the course, you will receive the three-ring binder with PowerPoint, video clips, leader's manual, everything you need to teach a biblical worldview class. And so I hope you'll check out that website and check out the demo, go through the training, and become a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor. You can find out more at worldviewweekend.com/online-training, worldviewweekend.com/online-training, and become a Biblical Worldview Weekend instructor. It's just like the classes we've held here in Memphis, but we're only going to do that about once a year now, where we're holding them three or four times a year. We're only going to do that about once a year. And for those of you in parts of the country, around the world, who wanted to take this, we have put it online at worldviewweekend.com/online-training. And then we'll mail you out the curriculum with the PowerPoint, video clips, leader's manual, student worksheets, everything you need. And then, of course, soon we'll be releasing the Grave Influence curriculum and the Trojan Horse curriculum, which, as an alumni of the Training Institute, you'll have the right to purchase that. But we do ask you to go through our training first before you become an instructor with Worldview Weekend. So, again, worldviewweekend.com/online-training. My guest, Dr. John Whitcomb, you'll find his websites, many of them, which include things like WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org, SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb, and Facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries. All right, Dr. John, I know some folks do not hold to the eschatology of pre-tribulation. That's fine. I don't like to divide over that issue. I know some prophecy guys, that they're very black and white on that. I do not see that as an essential Christian doctrine, so if someone has a different eschatology, not a problem, as long as we agree on the essentials. So for those who don't agree with the pre-trib, they don't even think this is a legitimate question, but that's fine. Others do. And I know you hold to the pre-tribulation eschatology, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So as someone who's lived as many years as you had, studied the Bible as much as you have, seen the changes that are occurring, all the things that the Bible really seems to speak of as setting up for the second coming, well, if so many things are occurring that point to the second coming, when Jesus Christ literally sets his foot on earth, that tells us that his appearing in the clouds, the rapture, must be imminent. And again, some people say, imminent? What do you mean by imminent? You know, well, if it's 50 years from now, as I said before the break, or 100 years from now, that would be imminent in the scope of time. But as someone who has studied all of this, how much longer do you think it is?
Well, of course, we have two extremes, don't we? Number one, There are some Christians who tragically have tried to actually set the date
for
the rapture, the beginning of second coming events. But Jesus said it so clearly, repeatedly, Matthew 24:36, of that day and hour no one knows. Now listen, not even the angels of heaven. Now listen, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Isn't that amazing? During the life Jesus lived on the earth, non-glorified human nature, he deliberately set aside the independent exercise of attributes such as omniscience. He said over and over, my Father tells me these things that I need to know. And in verse 42, be on the alert. You don't know what day your Lord is coming. And verse 44, the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And then down to verse 50. I mean, think of all these statements here. Down to verse 50, in which he says, of course, that these things will not be known as to the exact date. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he does not know. But the other side of the story is this. We are seeing general signs, aren't we, everywhere, of the unification of Europe, fulfilling what? The prediction of Daniel chapter 2. Number 2, the apostasy of the church. In the last days, that'll happen. Paul warned Timothy repeatedly. And wait till you hear this one. 6 million Jews back in the Promised Land. When I was a soldier in Germany in the Second World War and saw in the Holocaust museums and in the concentration camps like Dachau, the evidence of 6 million Jews who were destroyed by Hitler, I could not have believed I would live long enough to see 6 million Jews nearly back in the Promised Land. God says, watch Israel. When they become sufficiently desperate, isolated, hated, and that's happening more and more, isn't it, around the Near East, watch for something spectacular is about to happen. And I say, Lord, I'm watching. Help me to be careful not to set the date, but help me to be alert to the trends that show that the coming of the Lord is near.
Well, indeed, I think it is. I think the trends are definitely saying it is near, and that's our blessed hope. All right, and that's not doom and gloom, is it, Dr. John?
That's our blessed hope, to see that light coming toward us in the tunnel of darkness, and it's not a freight train heading for us. It's the light of Jesus, the light of the world coming. He's coming, and he's coming soon.
And, you know, some talk show hosts and programs that I've heard on other networks tend to become that, doom and gloom. They rip the newspaper and tell you how bad things are and woe is me and, you know, we just got to wait to get out of here. But that's not the message of the gospel. It's not even the message of the things that are occurring to us. Even if God is judging our country, judging the world, that's not a doom and gloom message for the believer who puts it in context. Every opportunity can be used, almost every opportunity can be used to become a pulpit for the gospel, to explain to someone, why is there evil and suffering? Why do little children get cancer and die, which the world just seems to have a very difficult time with things like that. That really sets a lot of them off. But even the things that we see, earthquakes and storms and people killed in car accidents, as we saw in, you know, recently, I think, in Florida, the pileup, just innocent people, 9/11, that is bad, and that's sad, and it grieves us. But as believers, we don't have a message of doom and gloom, and we really shouldn't be presenting the news of the world in that way, should we?
No, and in fact, think of this. I was raised in China back in the 20s. My father was there in the U.S. military. When all pastors, missionaries from the rest of the world were excluded, thrown out of China in 1950. Maybe a million Chinese Christians were left. We thought that's the end for them. But what's happened? 70, 80, 90 million Christians now in China. So thank you, Lord, for delaying your coming so that millions more could believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. So as the darkness deepens and persecution increases against the true church, help us to see you're doing a great, great work for your glory. All things work together for what? For good to them that love the Lord.
1-800-347-9829 is the number. We'll take your questions. 1-800-347-9829. Again, some of you prefer to email them in. You can do that at info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. Again, number 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. All right, here's another question. I once had a conversation, says this writer, with a Jehovah Witness and a Catholic at separate times. Both claimed that their Bible was the true, accurate version of the Bible. I know this isn't true, but in each case, I couldn't reason well enough with them to prove that the Holy Bible that you and I read is more accurate, a more accurate version, given a correct interpretation within translation from Greek and Hebrew versions. How can I know for sure the Bible that I read every day, be it the New King James Version and NSAB and some other translations, is an accurate version of the Bible?
Yes, that is a very difficult problem, because we cannot argue with, reason with people who have no spiritual discernment. Jesus warned us against that. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Why not? They'll trample underfoot and turn and rend you. Do what's necessary to do what? To change swine into sheep so that they will be what? Teachable. And a person who doesn't believe God, believe the Bible, you don't argue which translation is better than some other one. You need to pray fervently that that person will come to the Savior and hear the gospel. Now, a person doesn't have to know what translation you're using. No, the Holy Spirit can use any translation. Be careful with this one now. Any legitimate translation, and there are several, to win a person to the Savior. When the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" he didn't say, "Well, what translation are we using here?" No. In fact, many Jews use the Septuagint, which is different than the Hebrew in various places. But the Word of God is so marvelously designed that you can't miss the message. You can win a Roman Catholic to the Savior using his Douay version. And that's something that is thrilling. The Holy Spirit is not limited to one particular translation. That doesn't mean, however, we don't want the true translation. We work at that. And therefore, you not only pray for God's wisdom and opportunities, but you find yourself in a good church where the Word of God is being preached faithfully, and ask your pastor for help on questions like this, and he will be glad to show you what is a better translation, a more accurate version of God's precious, infallible Word.
And there are some really sloppy translations out there, or paraphrases.
Yes.
Before we go to the phone lines, what are some of your, as someone who has studied the Bible for so many years, what are some of the versions, translations that you have liked to turn to? I'm guessing it's more than one.
Yes, I often use the New American Standard. I use the New King James Version Bible. And, of course, I know what God would say. Say, please learn Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and read the Bible in the original languages.
I agree.
No translation is absolutely perfect for that reason, but it is sufficient for all basic doctrines that we might grow in the Lord. And he will increase our discernment as we have opportunity to really study these questions of what is the correct translation of this or that statement in the original Word of God.
And I like my New King James, but even my King James friends, some of them will tell me that, yes, they have to even go back to the Greek and Hebrew to get a clear understanding of what that verse really means. So even in the King James, we still need to go back to Greek and Hebrew in order to understand it, because some of it just doesn't translate real well in our English language, does it?
That's right. And the Apostle Paul did not use the King James Version.
Let's go to George in Olney, Illinois. George, you're on with Dr. John Wickham. Thanks for calling in.
Yes. I was wondering if the Hebrew calendar this year is 5,772, and it's getting ready to change in April. And I was wondering just how accurate he thought that might be. Because we know that the Gregorian calendar was...
You want to know how many years ago the world was created? Is that your question?
No. Ask it one more time, George, real loud.
The Hebrew calendar is 5772. And I was wondering how accurate you think that is, because, you know, for 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord.
Yes. Now, of course, that does not mean that every time the word day appears in the Bible, it means 1,000 years. Because if you look at that statement, 1,000 years with the Lord, yes, is as one day. He doesn't get any older, more knowledgeable in 1,000 years. It's a contrast, you see, between God and us and men. And so we have an amazing amount of information in the Bible that the world is thousands of years old, not millions or billions, but thousands of years old. And there, the final chapter of my book, The Genesis Flood, explains how we can arrive at some of those dates. So I believe that the creation of the world is a little bit more than 6,000 years ago, or 5,800 or whatever, but not very many. And we have a recent, fresh, new universe and planet Earth, all created within, what, 6 literal 24-hour days. Thank you, God.
Amen. We'll be right back with your calls with Ask Dr. John. I hope you'll join us for one of our Worldview Weekend rallies coming up in 2012. Our calendar currently consists of the following free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies: Tyler, Texas on Friday night, February 17th, Dallas, Arlington, Texas, Saturday night, February 18th, Houston, Texas, February 19th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 4th, Dayton, Ohio, March 31st, Indianapolis, Indiana, April 1st, St. Paul, Minneapolis, April 15th. And then we finish out the spring with Branson, Missouri, April 27 and 28 and 29. for the fall, we've already marked these as cities we're going to go to. We may add a few more. We'll start out the fall October 7th in Mitchell, South Dakota at the Corn Palace. Wichita, Kansas, October 12th. Des Moines, Iowa, October 13th. St. Paul, Minneapolis, October 14th. Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Saturday night, November 17th. Rockford, Illinois, November 18th. That's our current Biblical Worldview Weekend Rally schedule for 2012. They're free and they're one night. They're for students and they're for adults. Full details or to register and print out your free ticket, the website's worldviewweekend.com. Worldviewweekend.com. If you agree with what we're doing as we teach people a biblical worldview, then we ask you to consider becoming a partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. You can do so at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org, and help us as we put on biblical Worldview Weekend rallies free of charge all across America. Again, the foundation website's worldviewweekendfoundation.org, but to register for the free Worldview Weekend rallies, the website's worldviewweekend.com. Thank you. The Worldview Weekend Situation Room is where members understand the times through a biblical worldview. Hello, I'm Brandon House. I want to tell you about the Worldview Weekend Situation Room that is always expanding. We now have over $6,000 in resources inside the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. We have 100 DVDs that you can watch on demand whenever you want. In fact, one of the benefits to belonging to the Worldview Weekend Situation Room is that when we produce new television shows, we produce new DVDs, we put them into the Situation Room, and they're available for you to view before they're even available on DVD. We also have over 1,000 MP3s, all of our radio shows since September 11th, 2007, as well as many, many of the keynote presentations from our Worldview Weekends throughout the years. We've ripped the audio off those DVDs and put them into the Situation Room as MP3s. We also have ebooks of my book, Grave Influence, Christian Worldview for Students, Christian Worldview for Children, Put Your Beliefs to the Test, Building a Biblical Worldview Verse by Verse, and Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2. We also have the audio book of Grave Influence, 10 hours of my reading the book Grave Influence as an audio book. We're always adding new features, including recently new transcripts of some of our best Worldview Weekend radio broadcast. Again, it's over $6,000 of resources available to you for just $59.95 a year. You can join for 1 year, and then if you want to renew, which we hope you do, you can easily do that. But once you consider becoming a member of the Worldview Weekend Situation Room, having access to over $6,000 in resources for just $59.95 a year, you can join at situationroom.net. That's situationroom.net. Or just check it out, situationroom.net. Thank you for joining the Situation Room and understanding the times through a biblical worldview, but also helping support us, because the Situation Room is a big part of helping us keep going and funding our general operating budget. SituationRoom.net. Welcome back. WorldviewWeekend.com is our website, WorldviewWeekend.com. My guest is Dr. John Whitcomb. About every 2 weeks, about every other Tuesday, he joins us. And his website is Whitcomb, W-H-I-T-C-O-M-B, WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org, or SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb, SermonAudio.com/Whitcomb, Facebook.com/Whitcomb Ministries. Dr. John, I should play one of your sermons on our program someday so people can hear what you sound like when you get in the pulpit and preach. If I were to play one of your programs, which I bet you Paul, who works with you, could help me get, what would be the sermon you would love for our audience to hear you preach?
Well, perhaps the one on Christ, the creator of the world. The whole universe designed and created through the second person of the Godhead, and how it happened in Genesis chapter 1, how we know those days are literal days, how we know the order of events in which these things happened, how we know the method by which they happened, by supernatural creation instantaneously. Full-grown trees immediately appeared. Full-grown humans immediately appeared. Nothing had to grow up through years. And those are amazing, precious truths of how the world began.
All right, so hopefully Paul is listening, and he'll get me an MP3 of that, and we'll try to find a time here in the next week or so to play that sermon. Any idea? I know this is probably a question maybe you can't even answer because you've been preaching so long. But any idea when that sermon was preached that we'll play? I'm sure you've preached it many times, but you think we'll be hearing a recording from you from 30, 40 years ago or one
more
recently?
No, I'd say it probably in the last 5 or 6 years we've tried to polish and upgrade the message to make it clearer, more understandable, more appropriate to God's people.
Excellent. All right. Well, Paul, I think we'll get that to me, and we'll look forward to playing that. I think people will enjoy hearing a sermon of you preaching in the pulpit. Now they've gotten to know you so well, it's fun to hear another side of you, which is your teaching side when you actually get in the pulpit. So we'll look forward to that. That'd be a great program. You think so?
Amen.
Okay. Let's go to Tom. Tom, thank you for calling in line two. Go right ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Brandon and Dr. Whitcomb, thanks for taking my call. Brandon, I also I listened to an interview with Greg Jackson, and the interviewer liked your chapter in his book. So.
Oh, that's nice of him. Thank you.
And at any rate, I got a question about, you guys were talking about Jesus' second coming and when it was going to be, and in three different places in the scriptures, in the Gospels, in Matthew 16, 27, 28, Mark 8, 34 through 9, 1, and Luke 9, 23 through 27, Jesus says, for the Son of Man will come with his Father and his angels, and he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Jesus predicted that people standing there, he was going to come back right away, but it didn't happen. And most people have told me, well, it's the transfiguration he was talking about, but that's obviously not what he was talking about. And I'm wondering why that happened, why he said that this was going to happen three different times, and it didn't.
Yes. Now, if you look carefully at Matthew 16:28, he said, "Truly I say to you," speaking to the 12 apostles, "there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Don't look at the chapter division. That's the problem here. The next verse says, "And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother," and of course, he was transfigured. They saw a preview, you see, of his glorious return. And that's proven by the fact that who else appeared? Moses and Elijah, the forerunners of the second coming of Jesus. So I'm sorry, I have to say the second coming preview took place 6 days later. And I say that's amazing, because when we see Moses and Elijah there having come back from the realm of the dead to be what? Preparatory for the second coming. When they came down from the mountain, they said, well, why do some scribes say Elijah must come first? In other words, we saw him there with you. Who's first at the second coming? Who's going to appear first? Jesus said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. And that's explained, of course, in Malachi 4 and in Book of Revelation chapter 11 as one of the two witnesses who prepare Israel for what? For the second coming of Messiah to the earth, the second coming in glory. That'll be helpful. Read that chapter 17 without a chapter division from the end of chapter 16. I trust that'll be helpful.
Thank you for the question, Tom. Thank you, Dr. John, for the answer. Let's go to line three, Jerry. Jerry, welcome. Thank you for calling in, Jerry.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have one question, and I asked this before with another guest you had on about 3-4 months ago. What will people say, or the authorities in the world say, after the rapture and all these thousands of people are gone? What will they say to tell the rest of the world, hey, don't worry about it?
Good question. Dr. John?
Yes. When millions and millions of Christians suddenly disappear, it will not mean that those left behind can't be saved. Because by the end of the following 7 years, the Great Tribulation period, millions will have turned to Jesus. In fact, the Lord Jesus said it. Then he said, this gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed to all the nations, and then shall the end come. Well, who's going to do the proclaiming? The 144,000, 12,000 Israelis from each of the 12 tribes who have accepted Jesus, Messiah, through the two witnesses, in the last 3.5 years will take that gospel message to the ends of the earth, and millions, millions will be born again. Are you ready for the bad news? But almost all of them will be slaughtered by the Antichrist, martyred. So it's not a good time, a happy time, to hear, believe, be saved. The 144,000 will be sealed that they can't be killed by him, but millions of their disciples will be. And I say, Lord, I don't want any of my loved ones, friends, neighbors to have to go into the Great Tribulation. Help them to come to the Savior now. But they still can be saved even after the church has been raptured.
And this is not, I'm not being funny when I say this, but I believe a lot of these folks that are preaching this cotton candy Christianity are false teachers. I mean, you can't help but, you know, have Oprah at your church and welcome Oprah, be teaching the law of attraction, name it and claim it, positive confession, all the New Age stuff they're teaching. Dr. MacArthur has called Joel Osteen a paganist. What kind of message do you think Joel Osteen is going to turn to during the tribulation? I know it's a quick answer here, but, man, that your best life now is not going to preach well during the tribulation, is it?
Well, it's not going to be permitted. Of course, we know that the Gentile world will hate the two witnesses, rejoice when they're finally murdered after 3.5 years of leading Israel to the Lord. But the time for Gentiles to come to the Savior will be the last 3.5 years before the second coming of Christ. And I say, Lord, help us now not to wait for that time. Don't ever tell anybody to wait till even tonight. Believe now in Jesus, the Savior of the world.
Amen. Dr. John's been my guest. Thanks, Dr. John. His website, WhitcombMinistries.org. I'm Brandon House. Have a great day.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you appreciate the work we do here through our national television broadcast, our national radio broadcast, and our free Biblical Worldview Weekend rallies, then we sure'd appreciate it if you would partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, you can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.org, worldviewweekendfoundation.org. You can also become a monthly contributor and set up an automatic monthly tax-deductible contribution right there on our website at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. We have lots of people who are listening to this broadcast all over the world through the internet, but we also have many radio stations that carry it, and one way they carry it is because we have the help of the Worldview Weekend Foundation and underwriting that airtime. The same is true with our national television broadcast. That broadcast is put out there, but we have to help underwrite the airtime to carry it. We believe these are vital ministries for this day and this time as we teach the Word of God in context and apply them to the issues that are happening all over the world. If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.org. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.org. Thank you.